Hare Krishna. Spiritual culture raises humans from survival of the fittest to sacrifice by the fittest. Survival of the fittest is a central idea of the Darwinian theory of evolution, and it is something which has been observed in nature. People think that it is a fundamental factor of nature. Yes, there are unfit and fit, they are competing, and then the unfit are defeated or they are overpowered and they just can't survive. Now that may be a fact of nature, but it is not a ennobling or inspiring fact. Nobody feels very inspired when they see an unfit person perishing or a fit person thriving. That itself does not necessarily inspire. Actually, what inspires and ennobles is something else, something to contrary, in fact. When the fit sacrifice for the unfit, you know, rather than having the law of the jungle where might is right and the fit survive, the unfit perish, when there is the law of compassion, where instead of the fit not bothering about the unfit or some worse still fit paying on the unfit, what happens is the fit sacrifice for the unfit. And that is what inspires the most. For example, when the Twin Towers fell, at that time many firefighters, now they were fit and they were safe. And there were people who were trapped inside the burning buildings who were not as fit as they were and who were in danger. So these firefighters ran inside and they risked their lives to save the victims. So they became national heroes in America. And same applies whenever any person risks one's own life to help someone else. Now, this is counterintuitive if we consider survival of fittest to be a defining principle. What makes people go against the instinct for survival and risk their life for someone else? The answer is there are higher values. Now, we humans are not just animals who are driven only by a survival instinct. Yes, survival instinct does play an important part of our makeup. But we are at our core spiritual beings. In animals, they are also spiritual beings, they are also souls, but the spirituality is so covered that they act largely at the body, they are almost entirely at the bodily level itself. They can't think of anything spiritual or any higher values except those connected with bodily survival and the survival of those whom they are connected with immediately. But in human life, we have higher values. Those higher values, where do they come from? If we're just our bodies, then those higher values shouldn't be there at all. In fact, this presence of higher values, the presence of morality, this itself is an argument for the existence of God. It's called the moral argument. That where does our sense of morality come from? That's a different subject. But suffice it to say over here that the presence of higher values points to the existence of something higher within us. And that higher reality is the soul. So as souls, we are parts of God and we are godly. So we cherish godly values. And that means our existence presently is divided. So we are human beings. So we have a spiritual side which is ennobling. And then we have a body which is basically like the animal side, which just urges us to fulfill the animal drives and nothing more. And our existence is caught between the two, divided between the two. So when it is divided between the two, it is our responsibility to develop the spiritual side. And culture is meant to help us develop that spiritual side. So spiritual culture, it encourages and enjoins sacrifice by the fittest. Is as a part of a systematic program to develop the nobler side. So for example, in a spiritual culture, the fittest are the Kshatriyas. They are enjoined that they should protect others. In fact, the word Kshatriya means Kshatrayate iti Kshatriya. Those who protect others from hurt are called as Kshatriyas. So the Kshatriyas, what do? they are ready to risk their lives to protect others. And the Bhagavad Gita glorifies the Kshatriyas and it reminds and assures them that if they are risk their life and they sacrifice their life, they will attain a glorious heavenly destination. In 2.32 in the Bhagavad Gita, it says, Sukhina Kshatriya Partha Labhante Yuddham Idrisham Yadrucha Chopapannam Swargadwaram Apavritam. So Krishna says that if by its own will something has come, what has come? The battle has come. And what is it going to do? Swargadwaram Apavritam. It is opening the doors of heaven. So Sukhina Kshatriya Partha, the Kshatriyas should be happy about this. And properly trained Kshatriyas will be happy. When labhante yuddham idrisham, when they get this kind of war, it's not that they are they have some bloodlust where they want to see fights. No, they understand that ultimately life is perishable. Life, we are going to die, but if we get an opportunity to sacrifice our life for a glorious cause, then that is glorious, and that's why they are happy for it. So now this is one way to sublimate people, our spiritual, our higher desires and drives by encouraging a culture of sacrifice. Now, Kshatriyas are sacrificing at a bodily level, but there can be spiritual sacrifice also. And the Bhagavad Gita describes that spiritual sacrifice will lead to a higher destination. Heaven is not the highest destination in the Gita cosmology, because heaven also is material and everything material is temporary. So beyond the heavens, beyond the entire material world, is the spiritual world. And that is the ultimate destination. And that is attained by self-sacrificing spiritual warriors. What does a spiritual warrior refer to? It is one who fights against one's lower nature, who uses spiritual resources, spiritual intelligence, spiritual devotion, spiritual happiness, and fights against the lower material selfish urges and conquers over them. So such spiritual warriors, they are meant to not only just look after their own spiritual welfare, but also care for other spiritual welfare. And that's why the Bhagavad Gita recommends that they share spiritual knowledge and spiritual resources with others. In 18.68 and 69, towards the end of the Gita, Krishna tells that those who take risks and sacrifice and take up trouble so that they can share the knowledge of the Gita with others, they become very dear to him. Yadam paramam guhyam mat bhakteshu vidasyati bhakti mai param krutva mame vaishyatya samshayah chitasman manushyeshu kashchin me priyakrittama bhavita na chitasme tasmad anya priyataro bhuvi. Krishna says that those who share this confidential knowledge, they will come back to me and they will get pure devotion, they will get life eternal. Bhakti mai param krutva mame vaishyat, they will come back to me. Not only that, they will become very, very dear to me. So through encouragements and endorsements like this, Krishna inspires people to do these things, to become self-sacrificing. So the spiritual warriors who sacrifice, that means who don't just are not concerned only about their own spiritual well-being, but who are concerned about other spiritual well-being and sacrifice for bringing about a spiritual well-being, they attain life's supreme destination. So in this way, by sharing the wisdom and promoting a culture wherein people's higher values are brought about, what does the Bhagavad Gita do? It raises humans from the animal platform of survival of the fittest to sacrifice by the fittest. The material warriors, they sacrifice to protect those who are materially unfit. And similarly, those who have spiritual resources, those who have spiritual knowledge, spiritual devotion, spiritual happiness, by the practice of spiritual yoga, especially bhakti yoga, they are spiritually far fitter than others. And they shouldn't just delight in their own fitness, but they use their fitness and sacrifice to make others, to protect others also, and to make others also spiritually fit. This is how the spiritual culture is inspiring and ennobling. It doesn't ask us to live at the animal level of survival of the fittest, but to develop our complete potential by practicing sacrifice by the fittest. Thank you. Hare Krishna.